Today we'll be continuing the third part of our discussion of Lo B'Shamayim Hi. Again, till now we've been discussing the process that the Rambam and the Gemara tells us that we're not allowed to paskin, we're not to make halachic rulings based on heavenly interference, pretty much, you know, based on prophecy. So we're going to continue this discussion. That's Ruach HaKodesh. How does Ruach HaKodesh? The Rav Yaakov Hillel, really, Shlita, deals with this at length in his Sefer Vayesh Vayom, and his Sefer Eid Hegel Hazeh, in Sha'arish and Perek Zayin. The problem is like this. We know that you're not supposed to paskin based on heavenly involvement. But what about the fact that there are many, many Svarim that are written through discussions with Eliyahu HaNavi? We learn stuff out from Eliyahu HaNavi. There's a sefer called Magi Mei Sharim, which is where Rav Yosef Karo learned with a malach, and the malach told him halachas. Rav Yaakov Hillel quotes that the Arizal, it says, Rav Chaim Vital said that the Arizal, like I think most of his sefer is written through discussions with Eliyahu HaNavi. So how does that work? You're listening, how could you listen to an angel when he tells you Torah? I thought Torah is not for them. Torah is for down here. How could we use their information for any halachic rulings? I thought the Torah is not supposed to be decided based on angels or prophets. So Rav Yaakov Hillel explains the following. Nearly neas daiti levar dvarm Yosef siyata d'shmayim who ki achilik be nevul aruch hakodesh hu. He quotes the sefer Yafas Tayer, which is quoted by the Maariv Chiyus in Torah and Nevi'im, that the Yafas Tayer says that a person is not allowed to make halachic rulings based on prophecy, but Ruach HaKodesh is allowed. So Yaakov Hillel explains, what's the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and prophecy? Ki nevuah inay ba b'hislabshus Torah. V'ilu Ruach HaKodesh darke lov b'hislabshus Torah. The major distinction between a prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh, which is like heavenly insight, what's the difference between the two? The difference is that Ruach HaKodesh comes usually in the garment of learning, meaning it comes in the levush, it comes in the process of learning Torah. It's Hashem, when Hashem wants to give someone Ruach HaKodesh, when Hashem wants to give someone prophecy, usually it was like an epileptic seizure, he just dropped down on the ground and he got a vision. Ruach HaKodesh wasn't like that. Ruach HaKodesh, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shows you through your learning, you get a tremendous inspiration that you wouldn't have gotten before. But it happens through learning Torah. He said there are times that Ruach HaKodesh happens through learning Torah, your mind opens up. Now you understand things. And you wouldn't have been able to understand that Torah, to understand that insight without Hashem's help. But it happens through learning. Meaning that Talmid Chacham could be sitting and learning, and then he sees something, and he understands, let's say, a Kabbalistic concept that there's no way a person could just use his mind to figure out. It happens; has to be a gift from Hashem. But because it happens through the process of learning, then it's not a problem of Lo B'Shamayim, and it's allowed to be accepted into halachic psak. So he says over here, that's why historically we've accepted certain svarim that were written with the help of Eliyahu HaNavi, or with the help of angels, or with the help of someone who was nifter, comes down, his neshama comes down and he reveals a teaching, as opposed to a prophet, because prophecy doesn't come through Torah. Because these inspirations, this Ruach HaKodesh, is happening through the process of learning Torah, it's considered learning Torah, and therefore it's still considered Torah. It's not against Lo B'Shamayim Hi. It's still understanding Torah in this world, because it's happening through the process of learning Torah. That's what he says, and that's why historically, that will explain why a lot of times we've accepted a malach to teach us a halacha, or a Eliyahu HaNavi, or a nifter comes in a dream. Sefer Chassidim is filled with these type of stories of a nifter coming in a dream and telling us a halacha. It all happens because it's called Ruach HaKodesh. It's happening through the process of learning as opposed to nevuah. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is Tshuvas Min HaShemayim. Tshuvas Min HaShemayim, it's a very interesting sefer. As I mentioned last time, it's written by one of the Rishonim, Rav Yaakov Mimarish. And he wrote the sefer. Pretty much the sefer was that he would write down on a piece of paper a question, and before he would go to sleep, he would put on this pillow, whatever it was, and in his dream, the heavenly courts would reveal him the answer, and he would wake up, and the answer would be written, and he compiled the sefer out of it. A very fascinating shilas over there. He asks in Simon Bey's Gimel, he talks about which tefillin is correct, Rabbi Natam or Rashi. It's fascinating sefer. It's kedai to go through. The issue was, though, that the chida in Shema Gedolim, Ayis Reish Chavdalid, the issue is, how does this sefer work with halacha? Can we accept his rulings like any other, you know? This is one of the Rishonim. It's a big find. It's an amazing thing to have one of the Rishonim, a source from some of the Rishonim, their opinions. The problem is it's written all based on seemingly prophetic visions. So how does this affect halacha? So the it was a big deal in the postgame as to how to deal with it. So Rav Avad Yosef in Chilak Aleph or Chaim Simem Aleph, he says, "Nirlan fiyani as daiti sheish chilak gadol be misnava b'shem Hashem derech nevoa, de behadua de hu damrin on shein avi rasha the chadish shavim yata lechoylem chaloyim." Rav Avad Yosef wants to prove that dreams are different. The whole issue is having a prophetic vision. That's when it's a problem, because you're accepting a definitive ruling from Shemayim. But when it's just a dream, then, because you don't have to rely on it, because at the end of the day, Eina Kishem Shem Barvali Tevin Kachin Chalim Bele Devar Metelim, every dream, it's not a ruling. If you have a dream that tells you to do something, you don't have to do it. So because it's not a definitive ruling, it's sort of just a hint. Therefore, you could rely on it for halachic psak. That's what he says. And that's why he says you could rely. And therefore, it's not a problem, because he didn't have to listen to the dream anyway. So because he didn't have to listen to the dream, it wasn't a halachic ruling from heaven, because he didn't have to listen to it. It was sort of like heaven giving you a sign. And then, if you want to look into it, you want to rely on it, that's your own thing. That's what he says. Again, it's a little hard for me to understand, but that's pretty much what he says. I remember there's a very interesting tshuva. This is just as a side point to Agav. Maybe we'll end with this. That there was a shita out there that held that you have to wait 6 hours between milk and meat. Meat and milk. I'm not going to get involved right now. It's a whole discussion in its own right. But many, many Rishonim say you have to wait 6 hours. There was an opinion out there that held that if you went to sleep in between, you don't have to wait anymore. Meaning, you have a piece of meat, you take an hour nap, you can now have milk. There was such an opinion out there. Again, why this makes sense, I'm not 100% true, I'm not 100% sure, but there was such a sheet out there. The Chassam Sefer, it's brought down in Teres Maisha, that the Chassam Sefer originally wanted to rely on this for halachic ruling. So what he did was he made himself a cup of coffee, put it by his bed, and his plan was to take a nap, wake up, and have the coffee, even though it was within 6 hours. It says that when he got up, he knocked the coffee over, and he accepted this as a heavenly sign from Shemayim that this is not the correct ruling. So I saw that Ramesh Sternbach in Truvas van Hagas, Chelik Aleph, Simon Tuf Lamed Aleph, asks, how could you accept this thing into halacha? I thought it's, what do you call it? I thought, Lo b'shamayim, how could you accept heavenly signs when it comes to this? It's Lo b'shamayim. So according to what Rav Avad Yosef is saying, it's not a problem, because the problem of Lo b'shamayim is only when you have a clear-cut sign from Shemayim that you have to listen to, like a prophecy. That's when it's a problem. Hashem will never give you a prophecy. Hashem will never give a prophet a halachic ruling, because he would never force, because a prophet has to listen to what he says. That's one of the laws. A prophet can't just disregard his own teaching. Hashem would never do that. He would never give a definitive ruling to a prophet. He would never get himself involved with halachic rulings on a definitive way. But to give you a sign, an inspiration, listen, the Chassam Sefer could have gotten up, and he could have looked at the cup and said, maybe the sign from Shemayim is I got to hold the cup a little more sturdy. But he didn't do that. So because it's not something definitive, maybe there is Makom Tzimeichel. Again, it's a little more unclear, but that seems to be the opinion. I don't know if I mentioned in the beginning, but as always, this obviously needs halachic rulings for. You can't rely on this, especially dealing with stuff that's you can get yourself in a lot of bit of danger with these type of discussions, because you take too many signs into account. You can get into the negative prohibition of Tamim Tia in Hashem Elokecha, which Yaakov Hillel deals with at length, is that you can't lo sanachashu, you can't be superstitious. So you have to, you can't get, you know, you can't say, well, this is a sign from Shemayim. It's not something that you could do all the time. But historically, dreams, there was something that, a certain Rishonim did rely on dreams for certain halachic rulings. But again, as always, a Rosh should be consulted. Bez Hashem, next time we'll finish our discussion. Questions can be sent to avizakutinsky@gmail.com, avizakutinsky@gmail.com.